Cunha.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Expat Hoops Introcast. I'm Tony Budney, and I'm joined here by Andy Hoverman, as I will be for the remainder of all of our episodes. We are the hosts of this show, and we are the hosts of this journey. We'd also like to thank Antonio Hernandez Vicuña, as you heard there off the top. He's the guy that put together all the great music we're about to listen to in the show. Thank you very much to him, and you can check out his SoundCloud. He's at Electric Llama Official, and you can also find him on social media, Electric Llama. We are the hosts of this show, and we are the hosts of this journey. Why do I call it a journey? Because this show is going to be about overseas hoops. It's going to be about professional hoops, and it's going to be about Americans playing hoops overseas. We're here to tell stories. We're two Mason alums. We're two college hoops fans. Primarily today, though, we're here to tell you about our journey and how we arrived at the creation of what this is going to be, and tell you a little bit about what we're going to be giving you in the process of putting all this together. So, Andy, how long ago did you conceive of this idea?
Boy, it's been a long road, but it's been about 2, maybe 3 weeks.
2 or 3 whole weeks.
Yep.
From start to finish. See, that's the world we live in. We have all this technology available to us, and you have an idea of what you want to do, and suddenly you're buying microphones and you're joining podcast networks. I mean, what gives? Like, how does this happen?
Yeah, well, some of it is obviously we had the idea, sort of knew that some of the challenges we could take care of ourselves, but some of the other ones we went to some people that we know, the guys from By George, and said, hey, we're thinking about launching a podcast. And, you know, some of it is that we were able to do it ourselves, but some of it also is that we got incredibly lucky. Two of our first guests were on board with just a very brief idea. And like I said, the guys from By George were able to help us bridge the gap in some of the areas that we were a little bit weaker on. So, I mean, this is really an experience for us that even though it's only been about 2 or 3 weeks, that between what we were able to do, some of the people that we knew and some of the people that we didn't know being so willing to come on, this really came together pretty easily. And so even reflecting back on the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's really something I think that I'm quite proud of my part in it. So yeah, that's how it came to be.
And obviously you're listening to us now, so you found us in some way, but you can find us in a lot of different places. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We are at Expat Hoops, E-X-P-A-T Hoops. That is, of course, a play on words. We're very clever. We thought the hardest part of this podcast was going to be the name. Was it, though? I don't feel like it was really as hard as we made it out to be.
No.
But you can find us in all three of those places, and obviously you can find us on what I will refer to as the By George Radio Network, though that isn't necessarily the technical name of it, but you can find them on Twitter as well. All of our material will be on their different outlets as well.
Absolutely.
So obviously, as former Mason alums ourselves, many of those that'll be featured on this show will be Mason athletes, including our first guest, who is very special to us, and we'll be releasing later in the week and teasing some parts and questions from his interview that has already been recorded. Our second guest is from Adelphi University, Division II college athlete there, former Division II college athlete. And we hope to be able to keep up with her and her journey as she sojourns through her professional journey to see what her potential is and see how she can grow. So it's going to be an extremely interesting time. And we honestly don't really know what we're going to get into either, because obviously neither of us are experts, so to speak. We come at this from perspective of a fan. We are both fans of the game. We have attended many a Mason game, both when we were at the university and post our time there. So we have been following Mason basketball for quite a few years. And of course, we were college hoops fans, both of us, before we attended George Mason. So the interesting part about this for us is we are, in essence, going to be learning along with the rest of you as we interview the great people that are willing to come on the show with us.
Well, it's interesting too, is that you mentioned the journey of this is, you know, we had the idea basically to talk to Americans playing abroad. And, you know, very early in our discussions, we kind of sat there and brainstormed a list. Spoiler alert, it probably was a lot of the guys on the 2006 Final Four team, basically because we knew that they were kind of a little bit of a first wave that sort of went overseas. I wouldn't say first wave because obviously there's been players before them, but a couple of them had opportunities abroad. And so we kind of knew about them and honestly really kind of thought to ourselves, hey, wouldn't Tony Skin amongst a couple others be great to have? And reached out to Tony Skin. Like I said, he was really enthusiastic to do it. So that was fortunate. In a weird sort of 21st century way, we, you know, I was searching a lot of things on Google, and my app, you know, has the Google cards and things like that, and says, hey, if you're searching this, you might be interested in that. And lo and behold, Fallon Stevens comes up through, I think it was one of the local Marion papers from where she's from in Marion, Ohio, even though she went to school in New York, saying that she was about to go overseas. And I'm like, well, Google, you've obviously been spying on me enough to know that I'm, you know, Googling overseas basketball. So here we are. And I wind up reaching out to her. And, you know, even despite the fact not even knowing her and just, you know, cold calling her, you know, essentially, explain to her what the concept was, that we'd love to talk to her, and was somebody that came back and said, this sounds like a great idea. I mean, maybe she was joking, but I called her bluff. And so, you know, second guest was in the bag that way. So, I mean, both of them came to us in different ways, where one of them was on the list, and the second one just kind of came to us fortuitously. But both of them wound up coming together, and I really think even for the early version of our show, really added value to what we were trying to do. I mean, I think we, you know, we had the central concept down, but one of the things that was nice is the central concept can sort of be deviated from a little bit too, and we can afford to talk to some of these people that you know, are either going overseas or, you know, had the overseas career behind them.
Now I'm going to play for you just a couple of teaser questions that we asked our first guests on the show today, just to give you an idea, just a taste of what you'll be listening to upcoming in the next few weeks. So it's sounding like it's very important if you're going to pursue this type of playing overseas. There's a lot of bouncing around going on. Most importantly, you at least have to try to be somewhat flexible. I mean, I know you had the opportunity where they're like, yeah, you know, we're behind on payments and all that stuff, and you got to bounce when that happens. But it does sound like having some sort of flexibility either available to you or something you're willing to do is something that seems important.
Well, yeah, everybody's different. And I know I painted, like, that first year was rough. And it made me battle tested. But fortunately, man, my last, you know, obviously I played six, but before I got hurt, I had signed a pretty good deal after the Olympics to go into my seventh year. But after that first year, everything was smooth sailing for me. I didn't have any issues, man. And it's almost like God tested me my first year and then was like, all right, now I'm gonna let you off the hook. So I didn't have, you know, you hear so many horror stories, and you do have to have a stomach with, you know, trying to deal with some of the stuff where, you know, yeah, you might be getting $20,000 a month, but if they pay you in January and you're not getting paid again until March, you're really playing for $10,000 a month. You know what I mean? So you have to have flexibility, and the ones that are able to have the flexibility, I think, end up having the better careers, because it's tough. I mean, it stresses you out when, you know, one thing is trying to win games, but now when you're not getting paid, and it's not college, it's completely different. It's not America either, where you're protected by law, and, you know, if something happens, they got to pay you. No, I mean, it's rough.
Well, and if you could take us back a little bit, we were talking before the pod about this. So obviously that's probably the decision point where you said, all right, this is going to be something I'm going to look into. But what were the conversations like, you know, leading up to that point? I mean, you know, was there somebody on the team in particular that, you know, kind of told you, hey, this is something that could be a reality for you?
Yeah, of course. So Leonie Edringer, she's from Germany originally. And she transferred to our team my sophomore year, and I was lucky enough to play with her. She knows all about the professional world and kind of what it entails, and so she brought the idea upon me and, you know, told me that, you know, if it's something you want to do, you can definitely do it, as well as our head coach, Missy Traversi. She played many years overseas and even tried out for the WNBA. She is just a basketball head, if I do say so myself. And she also gave me the idea that, you know, it's possible. And if you want to do it, then you definitely can. And so they kind of got my mind spinning, you know, what do I do? And so here I am.
This is Expat Hoops, Tony Budney, Andy Hoverman. We just heard some previews, but what is an interesting takeaway that you have, Andy, from, first of all, Tony Skin's interview? What did you find most interesting that came from him?
Well, it was interesting. We talked, you know, made mention of this in the early portion of the podcast. We were talking about like how Tony Skin was somebody that really was kind of on a brainstorm list for us. Obviously, as Mason alums, we have our bit of homerism, and we obviously wanted to kind of talk to somebody. So that was one of the natural things. We knew that he'd gone overseas. That was another box check, basically. And as we talked about, you know, off the podcast, he had the Olympic experience. And so that's another box that just got checked right away. So that was really probably one of the things that we knew that was unique about Tony that we thought, you know, could add something to just sort of our quote unquote normal athlete who goes overseas. But even when we were sitting there interviewing him, I thought that there was something that could easily have been a longer in-depth conversation about. You know, obviously we were trying to keep our podcast length to a certain amount of time, and we had so much ground to cover with him that you've got to fit 6 to 7 year career playing abroad. You've got to fit the Olympics in there. Obviously, we were trying to talk to him a little bit about what he's doing now at Seton Hall. So we're trying to fit a lot of information into really something that people could listen to in sort of a digestible piece. So even going back and listening, re-listening to it when we were editing, I really was struck by the fact that we really could have spent a whole entire podcast on the Olympics experience. I mean, just to hear the fact that that was essentially, you know, going to the Final Four all over again was really something that, you know, you think about, like, what a big accomplishment that was, how exhilarating that must have been, be the first ones really to do that. I mean, for Nigeria, basically, that was it. That was the first time they'd been. Didn't think that they necessarily would go. I mean, like he said, thought they had a good team, thought they could do it. But it was sort of one of those ones where like, well, we'll just see what happens. So the fact that it's happened for him essentially twice, two Final Four runs, kind of out of the blue, if you will, that was really something that we could have spent a lot more time on that.
Hey, that's a good idea. You should write that down for, if we have the Olympics next year. I guess we got to say if right now. If we have the Olympics, because we were supposed to already have had them. And boy, that would have been a great segment for this podcast.
Yep.
If the Olympics had actually happened this year. But no, let's hope they happen next year. Maybe we'll keep that in mind and find some athletes that played for some other Olympic teams to come on the cast and talk about their experience in other cultures as well.
Yeah, so that was really probably, I mean, again, I thought that there were many segments that I could have chosen from at that particular moment in time. Obviously, you know, we've previewed a little bit for our listeners now, and certainly the whole thing, I think, is worth listening to. But Tony, you had a chance, obviously, to sit down as the co-host and talk with them as well. So other than the Olympics experience, what would you say was the most interesting part of the interview to you?
His experience getting into professional basketball just starting out. It's easy to be starstruck by players that are on your favorite Division I team, right? I covered this team. I was able and fortunate enough to cover the last three games of Mason's 2006 Final Four run, including the UConn win. So I was on media row for that game. I was in the locker room after the game, in which I briefly asked Tony Skin in the locker room, and I actually mentioned this to him when I was interviewing about his very brief time that he spent in Hagerstown toward the end of his JUCO time.
which he kindly said that Hagerstown was kind of boring, and I agreed with him. But that's okay because, you know, Hagerstown is a place where he got to have a great experience, even with a coach that he felt like was worth being with and was listening to and gave him some pretty good advice going forward and ultimately was a stepping stone for him in his career. But the camp experience that he had, that he talked about in his interview, where he went to the camp and was essentially trying to vie for the services of the agents, the various agents that showed up there. A lot of people don't realize that these teams have a limited number of foreign players. You're only allowed a certain number of Americans. Some leagues have more, some leagues have less. So it's very limited in terms of the opportunities that he could have. Even more limited than you think it might be. So not only are you having to deal with the fact that you have to be talented enough to be on this team to break in, but you also have to stand out to everyone that's trying to get you there and represent you, and who is from your own country. So it's not like Tony Skin and four dozen other Americans can show up and split Croatia and they're going to be like, okay, you can play for the team and the team's half American. Now, that's not the way it works. Two or three players can on some of these teams can be American at most. So it's just a lot. It's a lot in normal circumstances. That I found to be extraordinarily interesting. We mentioned in the interview the KBO, which we sort of learned about the limitations in terms of foreign-born players in the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization. It was foreign-born players in general from anywhere outside of South Korea. In this case, it was American athletes. And other Europeans leagues have, you know, three or four players here and there. But the slots that you have across the entirety of these leagues are limited on top of everything else. I think that's really interesting. And I think it's interesting to hear how much it was and how difficult it was for him started out as he bounced around to different places trying to find a landing spot where he could have a good opportunity for his family and a good opportunity for him as a professional basketball player.
You know, it's interesting also you're bringing up the camp experience. This is really almost an excellent segue, not only speaking about Tony's experience, but a segue into Fallon's experience is pretty much the big contrast there is that you and I were talking about this off the pod, that one of your takeaways from Fallon's interview was the process for her in the era of COVID. She's a Division II player. Unfortunately, their season got shut down right before the NCAA. I mean, like literally under 24 hours.
Her team was a number one seed, correct?
Yep. In their region, number one seed in their region, had a 27-3 year. I mean, just such a great year. And, you know, just coming down to it, like some of the last, you know, practices and walkthroughs, and they just get shut down. So, I mean, Tony went to the Portsmouth Invitational Tournament, which is usually big for, you know, NBA and some of, like you said, some of the international teams are going to have some representatives there and obviously the agents, but Fallon didn't have that. Fallon didn't have that because COVID is part of it. I mean, obviously, some of it's also to do with the structure of the NBA versus, you know, WNBA and the international experiences for women. But Tony, getting down to it, that was the most interesting part, I think you said to me, about her interview with us. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about why you found that to be fascinating?
You compare it to Tony Skin, where we just listened about the blood and sweat that he had to put in, the camp experience, bouncing around Europe. Yeah, Fallon, who had a prior friendship with a person who was a sports agent, her experience was in essence, pedestrian in comparatively, just because of the fact that it was almost like a normal job process. You know, it was networking that got her foot in the door. And obviously she had the talent. The talent was there because she was able to get on a roster now on a professional team in Iceland. And just having that and having a place to start where she didn't have to go through all of this in a time of COVID was so essential to actually being able to get started. I know this is not going to be shocking to anybody, but getting started is by far the hardest part, no matter how talented you are. I mean, Tony Skin was a guy who had a established reel of plays. He was a guy that had plenty. He had multiple national television experiences at Mason during his couple of years there.
And recent.
Yeah, and recent as well. Yeah. And still had to go through all this, still had to bounce around to different leagues. But Fallon's experience that she had, being able to go over there, it was, what's the word I'm looking for? It was encouraging. It was in a time where a lot of different people are having extraordinary difficulties. It's nice to see a person who seems like they deserve an opportunity get one.
Yeah.
And be able to experience something in a time like this that will be such a help to her to establish her foothold in professional leagues, maybe in Europe, maybe in other places, depending on what her desires are. And obviously the other part of that interview, Andy, which stuck out to you to some extent as well, was the fact that the team she was with was new as well.
Yeah, it's a merged team, and you know she's going to talk a bit more about that actually on the pod. That's her episode, but you know again, this kind of almost segues back into what you were saying with you know Tony Skinn having so much basically tape on him, the exposure at that point in time. His first two experiences were, the first one was France. And even though he made most of his career in France, you know, a couple of years later, he actually started in France and didn't have the best experience. Then he goes to Split, Croatia, and as he tells us, pretty much played for free. And so the first two experiences were not the best. And I mean, he was quick to point out, look, you know, after that, it was smooth sailing. I had a great time. Like even those experiences, I'm sure he probably would love to be paid and everything like that, but he probably really overall wouldn't change very much about his experience. And that was one of the things that was interesting about hearing from Fallon. Her agent, you know, there was kind of a tangential connection before, you know, the player agent relationship. They, you know, they kind of knew each other a little bit through a mutual link back home. And so he was able to sit down with her and say, look, you know, you've got opportunities in Germany. You've got opportunities in, you know, some other country. Iceland, this is tier two, but, you know, this is a team that, you know, they were two last year. They merged the team. Pretty much the roster is cleared. You're going to get paid. You know, these are some of the perks that you're going to have. And, you know, if you play well, like you said, it'll establish a foothold from which you either, you know, can stay there again or move up maybe within, you know, the country, or maybe you go to another country.
Right. So, and she's a Division II athlete.
Right.
I mean, Division II athletes to have an experience like this, it's not something that's incredibly commonplace, you know,
no.
But she obviously had the talent.
No. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we went through a lot of her accolades on her podcast, the episode of our podcast to come. I mean, she pretty much played all 4 years. I mean, her minutes obviously increased from her freshman year, and I think pretty much from her sophomore year on, she was a consistent player. Like I said, the team did incredibly well, of which she was a big part of. I think she finished second all time in 3-point percentage at her school. I mean, in addition to a couple other you know, really good markers of a good shooter. And she's, you know, listed at 5'10", 5'11", I think. And I think her agent was saying that the tallest person in the league that she's joining is 6'2". So it is kind of, again, Tony Skinn, that is, talked about the concept of small ball over there. And, you know, that's not quite exactly what's going on over there for Fallon as well. But, like, it's a place where she could do incredibly well, establish herself and, you know, have this opportunity. And obviously, you know, Fallon and I had talked a little bit offline, but also on the pod as well, that like one of the things that she wants to do is travel. And you and I brought that up with her on the pod that, you know, other than being on the continental section of Europe, you know, Iceland's a really good place to go travel.
Yeah,
obviously COVID willing.
Very safe. It's a beautiful place. It has a type of look to it that looks almost otherworldly. So there are lots of things going for that. But to wrap up the whole idea around this, There's always an idea that I've had in my head about how to play professional basketball. And it's easy to look at the biggest stars in the sport and say, okay, this is what everybody aspires to. So if you don't reach those heights, what's the point in continuing on? But it's clear from everybody here, it is like something else. When you're at other levels of the sport, it's worth at least giving it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Skin, being from what at the time was more of a mid-major school, now it's a high mid-major, then it was like a mid-mid-major, since there are all these tiers and levels and stuff in men's college basketball. But he was on a team that was ranked top 25. He was on a team that then made the Final Four, somewhat surprisingly, because not just from the perspective of they were a mid-major team, but also because they barely got into the tournament, which a lot of people seem to have forgotten. It's easy to do that. But you go to a Division II athlete, this is just being part of a system and treating it like, hey, this is something I want to do. Maybe I want to continue this job for a while. What do I have to do to get there? Who do I have to talk to? Who has to help me?
Yep. And I mean, you know, again, it's interesting too, because, you know, Tony Skin was mentioning the fact that he's, you know, 5'11 and a half, like I think he said 160 or something like that. So that's obviously, you know, that height, you're going to have a hard time, you know, getting the attention of the NBA. That being said, you know, he was able to establish an international career, and at the point in which he decided to go to Germany for more job security, basically, he had the opportunity to be, you know, 16th, 17th guy on the roster. And unfortunately, the way the NBA is, you know, he's like, well, I could be cut like within 10 days or whatever the case may be, you know, basically very narrowly hanging on in terms of contract obligations. You know, he said, well, I've had a great experience in France. You know, maybe Split Croatia, he would have liked to have gotten paid, but, you know, I had a good experience over there too. Germany's a high level league. I'm going to get paid well. I've got family to think about now. You know, so it made all the sense in the world for him to look at that. But, you know, he had the opportunity to say, you know what, if I want to go for the NBA, I could. But obviously, for the reasons that he chose, I probably chose wisely. It's not that the ability wasn't there. It's just, it can be incredibly tough to do, not only to make, but also to make the circumstances work too. So I thought that was interesting too, that how things all come together. If you're a player that, you know, is not necessarily a super duper star, you know, how you're even weighing NBA dreams versus going overseas.
Another reminder, hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Expat Hoops, EXPAT Hoops. We are Tony Budney and Andy Hoverman, and a thank you to By George and the Giant Killer for providing the George Mason content, for being a huge support and a source of encouragement for us. We look forward to working with them for a good long while, hopefully, as we get this thing off the ground.
Absolutely. And of course, we have to say again, a big thank you to our first two guests, Tony Skin and Fallon Stevens. We couldn't have done it without you, number one. It would have been a really awful show listening to us week in, week out.
No.
But secondly, I mean, their enthusiasm towards this project was just something that made us all the more excited to keep going down this road and make this a reality. So this is certainly something that, you know, we're talking about being from the fans' perspective. We want to make it conversational with our guests. They're the ones that are either going overseas, have played overseas, or some of the guests that we will be talking to in the future are in the midst of their overseas career. So, I mean, they're the ones that really drive this show. We're kind of hoping to be caretakers and to present the stories. But we really had two fantastic guests to start off, and we're really looking forward to talking to them again sometime in the future. Even some of our other guests that we'll be announcing at a later date. We're really excited for the direction of where we think this is headed. And quite frankly, we're also excited for the direction that we don't know which it's headed. We have a central concept here, but we also know that we're not so rigid that we can't do other things that are sort of just slightly off of that. So we have an idea that's largely basketball driven. Obviously, we've got some elements of travel to this podcast too. Really looking forward to all the different directions that we can go with it.
And if you have some ideas or a story that you think needs told, feel free to hit us up and we'll take a look at it and see what there is that we can do, because there's a lot, there's a big world out there.
Yep.
And we intend to explore it. And I hope you'll be able to journey with us as you listen to the sound of our voice and the voice of our guests on this podcast. Andy, did you have any closing thoughts that you wanted to leave anybody with?
Nope, just one last reminder. Follow us on all our social channels. It's a good place to tell us what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. At Expat Hoops, we're on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're definitely going to be looking for feedback. Also curious to hear if there's any particular sources of input from anybody, any potential guests that you'd like, feel free to tag us. Maybe that'll help move this project along, and we can bring that great content to you at some point soon.
But as always, never tweet recruits.
Yes.
That's rule number one. Never tweet recruits. This is a professional podcasting show. Keep the mentions of the Twitter recruits.
Well, we're fortunate. We're not really going to be going into the realm of recruiting all that much. So.
Oh, I hope not. There are way too many podcasts on that out there.
Oh, yeah. So that's why we're sticking to where we are. Follow us on all the social channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Expat Hoops. We're looking to get feedback and be active with our listeners.
I'm Tony Budney. He's Andy Hoverman. We're going to be here with upcoming episodes soon. The first two of our interviews will be out real soon. Probably at least one of them, as you're listening to this, that you have an opportunity to download from the By George Radio Network. By George and Giant Killer, which we are happy to be a part of. So long, everybody. See you next time, and hope you enjoy the show. It's going to be a fun ride, and I hope you enjoy the journey as much as we will.